This is the Water Boys.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Water Boys for another Saturday morning. Brent Costello up and about this morning. Can't say the same for my co-host, Cameron Brown, who's walked in with a real case of the sads this morning after the Dogs again were beaten last night. Brownie, Sydney, 17-18, 120. The Doggies, 9-13-67. I text you pre-game. You were confident. You got on them with the bookies, and they couldn't have been worse.
It was an insipid display, really, particularly in the first quarter, Brent. We'll have to touch on this as much as...
I want to ask you...
I don't want to touch it on our AFL segment. You've demanded.
Yeah, we need answers out of you, and you can speak on behalf of the club, because they are... Well, what is going on? They made the grand final, and they can't beat anyone at the moment.
No, very disappointing, Brent, and no excuses, and particularly when pretty much the season was on the line, and to come out and play like they did in the first quarter, I thought some of the positional changes were really strange, particularly in the back half. They didn't defend ball movement. They lost one-on-ones again. It's a recurring theme for the Doggies.
Hold your best stuff, yes. What about the NRL last night,
Brent? Yeah, one game last night, Brent. The Rabbitohs 40 defeated Newcastle 28. In the cricket, second test to Australia, 5 for 298. Well placed in this one. Then we did think about playing Glenn Maxwell, but in the end, had a little bit of look at the pitch and thought, no, it's probably not going to break up. And in some ways, that was justified by Australia. Smith, 109 not out, broke a drought, just his second century since coming back in from the ban, wasn't it?
That's
over
amazing,
England.
Isn't it?
So
yeah.
That snuck up on me.
Yeah.
13 test or something like that. And Marnus Labuschagne, his first 100 outside Australia, which was another stat that actually surprised me when I read it. He made 104. Jayasuriya, 3 for 90, the best of the bowlers for Sri Lanka. So you'd think we'd bat on today and try and get upwards of 400, Brent.
We'll have a deep dive into the tennis later on, but Nick Kyrgios will take on Novak Djokovic in the Wimbledon final after the Joker defeated Cam Norrie overnight. 2-6, 6-3, 6-2, 6-4. So lost the first set, but bounced back beautifully after that to get through to another Wimbledon final. But as I said, we'll dissect that a little bit later on. Pretty exciting stuff coming up tomorrow night over there in London. Big show ahead, Brownie. We're going to dissect the footy, as we said. Mitch Thorpe is going to be our special guest, the Launceston Footy Club coach, the all-conquering Launceston Footy Club coach. They've got the top-of-the-table clash this afternoon up at Windsor Park against the Tigers. That'll be a beauty this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely will be. And who do you like in that game, Brent?
Oh, I think you'd have to go Launceston at home, but there's a big game for the
Launceston
Tigers.
Launceston looked strong on paper when I read their team.
They were strong last week. We saw that. Anyway, we'll save our stuff for Thorpe a little bit later on. Also, we're going to have a big look back at the week that was. Plenty going on. How are you anyway? You've been missing last week. Yeah, you were crook. You still sound like you're not 100%.
I'm not too bad, Brent. Fit enough to play,
that's
for sure.
Well, you want to be. If you come into the studio, you've got to be right to go.
You know what it's like when you declare yourself. No excuses.
Right.
Last week, no. I was a little bit under the weather with the cold that's going around at the moment.
Okay.
And you can't play unfit players.
No, you can't. That. You can't. And Larry Brown has came off the bench and did a okay
did
job.
Enough.
Did enough. Didn't
that's,
got
that's
us through
what
the,
was, I was
got
told.
Us, wasn't yeah. outstanding, but they got us through the show. All right, we've got a big show ahead. Don't go anywhere. Back with more Water Boys next here, right across Tasmania, thanks to our great partners at McDonald's.
This is the Water Boys.
Welcome back to the Water Boys right across Tasmania, thanks to Macca's, which has a family over 106,000 employees. To join them, search Macca's Jobs and apply today. Time for this now on the show.
The Water Boys. Taking a look at the week that was.
Well, Brownie, there's plenty to talk about here, but we better start over at Wimbledon because it is very, very exciting. Tomorrow night, we've got the final, and as I said off the top of the show, Novak Djokovic will play Nick Kyrgios, our own Nick Kyrgios, in the Wimbledon final. Very, very exciting.
Very exciting. Brett, the first Australian male into the Wimbledon final since when?
I think, certainly it'd be to win it since Leighton Hewitt in 2002.
David Nalbandian, I reckon.
Yep. Now, I think Philip Housas may went after that, did he? Maybe
yeah,
the next year?
Philip Housas, I think, lost to Sampras. I reckon Rafter lost to Goran Ivanišević at some stage in the back end of the 1990s. I stand to be corrected on that. But really exciting, isn't it? And we've spoken about Nick Kyrgios, not necessarily for his tennis exploits over the years. It's more probably been his demeanour off the field at times and some of his temper outbursts and so forth that have tended to catch the headlines. But as a 27-year-old, potentially some would say getting to the twilight of his career, and would he ever reach his potential? We've said on this show, haven't we, if everything clicked, he's got, yep. you know... potentially the attributes and the skill set to go on and win a Grand Slam.
And he's on the verge of that tomorrow night, of course.
He's going as the underdog, it's got to be said, Brent.
Will he, though? Because the stats say he shouldn't be. He's got a good record. He's played Djokovic twice, I think, and he's 2-0. And I don't think he's even dropped a set to him before. So he's going in with all the stats behind
him. His first serve has been dominant. I don't know how much you've caught of him, Brent. And then maybe the fact that Nadal, with the tear in the abdominal region, probably helps Kyrgios. He gets a little bit longer to recover.
I wondered about that. Does it take some momentum out, or is it good that you get that extra rest?
I think a break.
Yeah. It can't hurt,
it'll all
it?
Be academic, won't it, once the result finishes up and we analyse how it all went. But pretty exciting for Kyrgios. How do you find him as a media performer, Brent? Well, someone that's full-time in the industry? Because he does
like
polarise.
Yeah. No, I like it. I mean, I don't condone his spitting and all that other stuff that he does. And obviously he's got his issues off the court at the moment as well, which have been made pretty public during the week. But as a journo at a media conference, I don't mind it because he's adding some personality. It mightn't be everyone's cup of tea, but at least he's giving something to talk about and not giving straight, boring answers all the time. I don't mind it.
If he does go on to win it, and let's future forecast and say he wins it, how celebrated would it be in terms of the Australian media and the public compared to someone like Ash Barty? You're comparing apples with oranges there. But in terms of, I guess, the positivity coverage and what might come out about him as a person and how much he might be marketed beyond this.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it?
It's all hypothetical, I know.
Yeah, with everything that's going on in the background, it makes it takes a lot of the sting out of the celebrations, and rightly so with what's going on. But it has to be one of our greatest sporting achievements, doesn't it? Up there with the players that have done it in the past at Wimbledon from Australia.
Well, Pat Cash back in, certainly in my lifetime, Pat Cash in 1987. And we mentioned Leighton Hewitt, and there hasn't been a hell of a lot in between.
It's pretty impressive, isn't it?
For three or four decades. So it's really exciting that he's in there.
Absolutely. Hey, we better mention the women's final too. This will be an absolute cracker tonight. Ons Jabeur taking on Alina Rybakina. Rybakina was a great win the other night. She obviously beat Tom Lanovich a few nights earlier, but to defeat Halep, who'd been in unbelievable form up until that point, was a magnificent upset win.
Yeah, I thought Halep would go on and win the tournament.
So did I.
But Rybakina, an interesting story in itself, isn't it? Because we know that players were banned from Russia and Belarus in response to the invasion of Ukraine. And, of course, she did play with Russia before transferring to Kazakhstan. And we should say, too, she hasn't circumvented the ban or anything like that. She made that decision 4 or 5 years ago from memory.
Yep.
So that's just an interesting subplot.
Absolutely.
Potentially who the trophy will be presented to later on tonight. Who do you see winning, Brent?
Jabeur, I think.
Tunisia too.
Yeah.
That's exciting in itself. She's a great story.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think she might get the job done tonight, Brownie. But it's been a good Wimbledon. I've really enjoyed watching this time around. It's been fantastic. Let's talk about the cricket from overnight. We did off the top of the show, but great to see the Aussies in such a strong position. We know Sri Lanka's had their COVID issues over the past few days, which has affected their lineup a little bit. But the Aussies, after a dominant first test, look like they're going to continue on in the second as well.
Not sure whether you saw the reaction too of Steve Smith. To me, it looked a fair bit of relief. It meant a lot to him, Brent, I would have thought. And we mentioned in the opener about the drought since he's made a century, and he's been around the mark, but he's a superstar. His average has probably dropped, I don't know, probably in the early 40s, which going back 15, 20 years ago was a really acceptable average. Yeah. But such is the benchmark that he set himself, you'd almost think he's, deteriorated somewhat. But it's just his second 100 in tests since that epic 211 at Old Trafford in the 2019 Ashes series. So, really exciting for him. And, Lava Shane as well, 100, as we mentioned, outside of Australia. So we're well-placed, the Aussies, I would have thought, in this test match, Brent, in an area of the world we traditionally have found in recent times a tricky place to play.
Absolutely. I'm just looking up Steve Smith's average now, and I'm not sure if this is updated since overnight, but it's 59. So there you go.
Yeah, well, I actually said before, I actually got the wrong, it's been 18 months and 16 innings
Okay.
Since he's had a ton. So he's still an incredible average, really, when you think he's 28th test century. So, which puts him on an equal par with Michael Clarke on the Australian list too, Brent. And neck and neck with Joe Root.
Give a shout out to Emma Mannix Jeeves from the Hurricanes. She's signed on with the team for this summer, which is a great signing, I reckon, after her heroics in the WNCL final a few months ago. And the Hurricanes are off to La Trobe to play a couple of games this tournament, Brownie, which I think is great that the girls can get around the state and play a couple of games.
La Trobe Ground's had a bit of an upgrade, yeah?
Have I got think that so. Right? It's in the process of. I'm not quite sure where it's at, but I know there's certainly works going on there, if not already in the future. So hence why they want to take games there, I suppose, which is great for the people of the Northwest.
And I read with interest the NRL, the Melbourne Storm. What can you tell me about that?
Yeah, well, Brett Stubbs had an article in the paper a few days ago about that. It'd be magnificent and takes me back, Brandy, when the Water Boys did the live OB. I'm not sure if you were part of that or not. Were you down there?
I might have been. Was it? Might have been Union.
We did. So we did Union as well, but we definitely did the Melbourne Storm.
You did the call, didn't you?
Wolfie and I, and Blair was down on the sidelines. I think it was very good. So maybe we'll do it again. We'll drag the OB kid out and do an OB if the Storm come back to town. But it'd be great to see it down here, wouldn't it?
It's only happened a couple of times, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has.
And it's been a while. So it's fantastic at any stage, Brent, to get the sport played at the highest level down here in this code.
Absolutely. All right, that is our week that was. Plenty more still to come this morning. The coach of the Lonnie Footy Club, Mitch Thorpe, isn't too far away. But up next, we pull apart last night's footy game, and the number one ticket holder of the Western Bulldogs in Tasmania, Cameron Brown, is going to get some heavy hitters from me. That's next here on the Water Boys right across Tasmania. Thanks to Maccas.
This is the Water Boys.
Welcome back to Tassie's best local sports show, The Water Boys, doing it all thanks to our great friends at McDonald's, who are introducing the Australiano, which is made with the best ever McCafe coffee blend with chai and native wattle seed, available at participating restaurants. We're looking at AFL on the show now.
Well, that's the thing about, that's what I like about, yeah, that's the thing about football.
I've seen people as flat as pancakes before. Now I've seen Cam Brown, who's taken it to an extraordinary new level this morning. He's flat as a tack after his Western Bulldogs were hammered, it was fair to say, overnight by the Sydney Swans. The Swannies 17-18, 120. The Doggies 9-13-67. Brownie, what on earth is going on? You make a grand final and the next year you're putrid. What's happened, please? Where's it all gone wrong from your perspective before we ask some hard hitters?
I don't know. It was going pretty well halfway through the third quarter of the grand final when they were 19 points up, the Dogs. I don't know. Potentially the scars of the grand final from last year have lingered on for a lot longer. The Dogs didn't respond too well after winning the grand final in 2016. So there's a bit of history there, Brent. Mm. But they were really disappointing last night, I would have thought, for their for themselves,
well,
and particularly the supporters.
You're optimistic supporter. You're the most optimistic supporter I've ever met, I reckon. But you can't be happy with what you're saying.
No, it's really hard to defend, particularly in the first quarter. I thought they tried to work their way back into a little bit in the second quarter, but 53 points, it probably should have been upwards of 70, really. And it's the way for mine in the first quarter that they probably should have had 10 on the board, Sydney.
Mm.
And they just looked at sixes and sevens, the Dogs, didn't they? How many goals did Sydney get out the back?
Oh, yeah.
I thought the selections were really strange from Beveridge last night. I thought having Treloar off half back, he spent some time. Treloar won a fair bit of the footy. But still, I think he's way better in the midfield and across wing and half forward when he can damage a run. I thought he hacked the ball a little bit out of defence last night. And I thought Heaney was one of the dominant players on the ground. Mitch Hannon, I'm not sure why you'd bring Mitch Hannon back and play him in the back half when he played very little footy, only one game back in the VFL. So I thought that was really strange, Brent. There's definitely some problems at the bookends. I don't know how you see it. The midfield, if they get smashed in contested ball, then they're a fair bit of strife. And they don't defend ball movement, particularly out of the forward 50 in that transition. And then they haven't got a great record one-on-one. It was more of the same last night.
You played in a grand final. I think most experts would have tipped you to finish at least in the top four, if not go on and win the flag this year. Does Luke Beveridge, he's under pressure, obviously, but is he the right man
for
the job?
Is he under pressure?
Of course he is. Has to be, doesn't
he? I think there'll be certainly some media scrutiny that come today, no doubt about that, on the Western Bulldogs.
Do you think you get a leave pass the next year if you make a grand final? Are you happy with that?
No, are you coming hard, are you, Brent? No, I don't think so. And I would have thought early next year the pressure will be on Luke Beveridge, because I think most people will see that as a really strong list who have drastically underperformed, apart from probably North Melbourne. Would the Dogs be the most disappointing team this year?
Have to be.
Looking from the outside. I'm trying to be really objective here, Brent. But, yeah, they've been really disappointing. I think the captain's banged up. They rely a lot on Norton. You give them some out in terms of the injuries. They have been hit hard with some unavailability and some own goals there in respect to Bailey Smith, and we know that Lockie Hunter had a little bit of time away, but they desperately need to get Bruce and McLean and these sorts of players. I think you've got to play Darcy. As a supporter, I'd be playing Darcy next week. If he gets through the VFL, I think they seriously consider him this week. You've got to keep getting more in the Hugo Hagen. There were snippets last night of what he can produce, but I still don't think he's got the tank yet at AFL level. But he does show some glimpses. So, yeah, disappointing with the list that they've got. And you look at their run home, Brent.
Horrible.
Who would you tip them in these games? St Kilda next week?
Give them a chance, depending on what happens with
Melbourne?
St Kilda. No. Nah.
Geelong?
No. Nah.
Fremantle?
Where's that?
Oh, it's in Melbourne. But they probably might have lost three in a row after that. GWS and Hawthorn, who might fancy themselves against the Dogs. So
that's in Tassie,
it's
too.
One of the stories of the season, Brent. No doubt about that. And there'll be heavy scrutiny on them.
You'd sit here and talk about them all day, but we better push on.
Yeah, let's go to some positive news. Gold Coast, Stewie G. There you go, off the top of my head.
And he's in action this afternoon against the Tigers. That'll be a cracker. But, yeah, well done to Stewart G on a new contract. He was dead man walking, wasn't he, with Clarkson lurking and that. But he's stood his ground and got his team with a few wins, and here he is to re-sign a new contract, which is great.
I'm glad for Stewie Jew. I think it would have been easy for them to tip him out.
Yep.
But it looks like the players are really invested in him, and he's got some real connection and personal relationships with the players, which they are obviously responding to. I think it'd be great for that footy club if they made the eight next year. There'll be pressure on them, I think, to take that natural step, and we know the talent. The young talent that they've been able to secure from the draft up there. And the last couple of games have only lost by a goal, Brent, so they could have been pushing inside the eight, really.
Who wins that one today? No Dusty for Richmond. It's up on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, I think the Gold Coast are a real chance. I really like their emerging midfield. I still think there's some upside in Rao this season. Just got to win a little bit more ball on the outside. But Took Miller's an absolute star. We don't talk about him enough. Anderson is really growing in that midfield role. I think Gold Coast get it done.
Now, hear me out here. This might sound stupid, but I'm in this tipping comp where I've got to pick a different team every week. And
he's
gone
still there.
Still there, but I've had to pick North Melbourne today.
Oh, I know, because you've been putting it off.
Yeah.
As you would.
But
and who are they playing?
Collingwood? Collingwood without De Goey.
No,
North
Brent.
Melbourne's been smashed in the media during the week. Can they grow an extra leg for me? Are there any chance, Brownie?
Gee, they've had some... No. No, there are absolutely no chance, in my opinion,
awesome.
Brent.
Thank you.
It's a real concern where North Melbourne Footy Club are at, and we're not going to add necessarily now to the negativity and the commentary that's been coming around from that club, but it's the way they've been losing in the margins, isn't it?
That's what I mean.
They just need to be in a game for a longer period of time for their supporters. If they can be still in it halfway through the third quarter, I think they would accept that.
Mm.
But no, I can't see them. Jordan DeGoey is an interesting one. Brent again, out injured.
Yep.
It's a continuity and reliance on his body. Hasn't been out there through the history. I don't think he's at Collingwood.
St Kilda?
Possibly,
Sounds like they're the ones that are into him. What about this one? This will be an interesting one. Speaking of St Kilda, they take on Fremantle tonight at Marvel Stadium. That's a hard one to pick, I reckon. We know Fremantle had a pretty horrible loss to Carlton at the same venue a couple of weeks ago. They'd love to bounce back, I reckon.
It's a great game. It's really...
Brett Ratton re-signed too.
I think I'm going to go Fremantle just. I reckon that'll be potentially under a kick in that one. I thought Fremantle were really good when they got to about 40 points in front of Port and then maybe took the foot off the accelerator and there were a few cracks there. But Saints were pretty solid last week against Carlton. I think Fremantle just.
Port to beat GWS, you'd think, in Adelaide. Brisbane have got a few out against the Bombers at the Gabba tomorrow. I reckon Essendon are sniffy.
Well, you've just touched on something there very quickly, Brent, because we're hearing about the different strains of COVID that are coming through.
Mm.
Is that potentially going to wreak some havoc on the competition? back end of the season. Yeah, it already has with Brisbane this week.
Yeah, it has. What have they got, six changes or something crazy?
Something like that. A lot of players unavailable.
Yeah. Look, I hope not, Brownie, especially coming up towards finals. You want your best players out there, don't you? And it sounds like the AFL is going to power on through it regardless of what happens and who's missing.
Well, that's always been the narrative and the messaging coming out of the AFL, so I can't see why that would change.
Yep, no, exactly. Anyway, who'd you tip in that game? Brisbane, Essendon?
Brisbane.
Yep. Even with all those players out. Darcy Parrish out for the Bombers too, which is a loss for them. Hawthorn Adelaide, that's a tricky one too at Marvel Stadium tomorrow afternoon.
I think the Hawks in that one.
Brent. Okay.
And West Coast against Carlton. West Coast, an improved performance
last week against
Richmond. The fact that they nearly kicked 100 points too, kicked 12 or 13 goals in the match, that would be encouraging, I would have thought, for their supporters. I thought, Kelly, gee, that was a brilliant game.
It was.
From him, 40 touches and a couple of goals.
He was exceptional.
Is that probably his best game for the West Coast Eagles?
Probably, yeah, probably. He's been fairly underwhelming, I reckon, since he's come across. He's had some games like that. But
hasn't been the player.
No, not like he was at Geelong.
Brent, I think it's a real danger game for the Blues.
Woo-hoo. Hey, am I a bad supporter that I don't really want us to win any more games this year?
No, that's what's wrong with the competition sometimes.
I feel bad saying it, but you don't want to lose a... We haven't had many good draft picks over the journey, Brownie. It'd be nice if we had a bad year.
What have you got currently at the moment? Pick two.
Yes. I think we're off the bottom. Yeah.
Well, I don't.
All right, we better get to a break. On the other side of it, we switch our attention to TSL footy, and the back-to-back premiership coach Mitch Thorpe joins us on the phone to preview today's big top-of-the-table clash at Windsor Park. That's next here on The Water Boys, right across this beautiful state of ours, thanks to Maccas.
This is The Water Boys.
Thanks for joining us on The Water Boys right across Tasmania. We're doing it thanks to our great sponsors at McDonald's, who are a family of over 106,000 employees. To join them, search Macca's Jobs and apply today. We've talked some AFL. We're now turning our attention to the TSL.
There it is. It's back-to-back flags for the Launceston Football Club. They win the 2021 Premiership.
Yes, they are the dominant team in Tasmania right now. There is no doubt about that. And the man leading the charge is the senior coach, Mitch Thorpe, who's been good enough to join us on the show this morning. How are you, Thorpey?
Good, boys. How are you going?
Yeah, going well, mate. Thanks for joining us on game day. And a massive one for your mob today against the Kingborough Tigers, who are second on the ladder. So we've got the top of the table clash at Windsor Park this afternoon. You must be up and about ready for it, mate.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. I mean, we've kept a close eye on the Tigers all season and probably into the pre-season, to be honest. They recruited quite well. They're a bit of an old-fashioned side in the sense they've got some hard-nosed midfielders and some big key forwards and a big ruckman. So, we're just really looking forward to the game, to be fair.
Might get back to the game in a moment, but as we just played the audio there of the grand final last year, you've won a couple in a row. When you hear that audio, does it take you back to September last year?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's been a big program over the last few years. We've sort of gone about things in a little bit of a different way and tried to create a stimulating environment for our people and our players to want to be part of. And, as we know down here, the boys don't get paid a hell of a lot of money, so you've got to make sure that the environment is somewhere they want to be. And for us, that's sort of evolving, and it's why we've had a little bit of success to date, and it's probably why the Tigers have really come onto the scene in recent years. They've got wind of how to do things, and their pre-season is really stimulating. Their players don't want to go anywhere. I mean, they've had really high retention of their list, so as much as the last 2 years have been enjoyable, we're pretty firmly focused on this year and today in particular.
And Thorpey, I read the team again with the interest, and what I guess is striking looking from the outside is the depth that you've got as a footy club, and you're not frightened to spin the magnets and bring different people in and out of the team. Young Liam Jones gets an opportunity, been in really good form with the Devils this season. But when you look at names like Musica, Riley, Foley was pretty good a couple of weeks ago at Clarence. At what point, I guess, are you still in that experimental stage at the moment, or are you now starting to really drill down and get some continuity about what the side might look like come finals time?
Yeah, it's a good pick-up, Brownie. I mean, we've spent a lot of time over our summer periods with our list management and making sure that we're not a team that relies on 25. We sort of want that 35, and the boys' standards. I mean, I've been involved with the VFL, the Sandford, and the State League. You know, the guys' standards are right up there with any of those programs I've been involved in, led by Joby Harper. I mean, we're a fit team. And if you sort of just fall outside of the protocols to qualify to play in our senior team, you'll play Development League. And, you know, Dylan Riley, I was best man at his wedding over summer, and to tell him on a Thursday night that he's not playing seniors because he's not quite at the level he needs to be is a tough conversation, but it speaks of environment. It's pretty authentic, and, you know, Michael Music, you could argue, has been in our best couple in the both grand finals, but we've probably, to answer your question, we've probably got a longer-term view as opposed to just worrying about today. Both boys will benefit from some more Ks in the legs, even at Development League level. So, yeah, it's a little bit of six of one, half a dozen of the other. We've got our strongest available side, we think, in today, but we know that those boys are going to be right around the mark, you know, a little bit later in the year.
And Thorpey, this particular group, how much are they self-motivated? We know you wouldn't be looking too far ahead, but obviously you're going to be well-placed come finals time. We know you've won the last couple of premierships. Do you have to really influence that side of things, or there's a fair bit in that group internally that they know what they want to achieve come the end of the season?
Yeah, there's a fair bit of substance within the group. I mean, my role is to facilitate, you know, the best environment we can have, and as I've mentioned, guys like Joby Harper are pretty headstrong and they're self-starters. You know, he only knows one way. He's the perfect State League captain. He works hard during the day and then he comes to footy training and trains just as hard. So our young guys have really got a leader that they can watch and try and emulate in some way. He's still winning our time trial, even though he's getting a little bit older. But, yeah, we're pretty clear what we want to achieve, and really it's breaking it down into blocks. I mean, we dropped a game earlier in the year when we didn't bring the right intensity, and the same could well happen today. I mean, we've rated the Tigers, as I said, from pre-season and the work they've done with their list and their fitness, and we're expecting a really hard-nosed game. They've got a lot of underrated players, you know, lots made of Kieran Lovell and Jordan Lane in front of the ball, but young Clifford, their captain, we really respect the work he's done and the job he's done at shifting their culture. You know, he doesn't get talked about a lot, but he runs in straight lines and he plays footy the right way. So we've got a lot of time for their group, and you know, they're very much a clearance contested mark in front of the ball side, and we need to make sure we bring the ball to ground quite a bit today, otherwise their big guys could get hold of us.
And Thorpey, what about your own, if you indulge us a little bit, your own coaching ambitions? You're getting quite the resume now in terms of at statewide league level and premierships that you've won across a couple of different organisations, potentially another one on the way come the end of this year. Would you love to be involved even further at a higher level of AFL coaching? Or I know there's considerations and things like that with a young family, but where's your headspace in those sorts of things at the moment?
Yeah, you've hit the nail on the head with the family. I mean, I've got two kids. One's nine, and the other is eight, and they're, you know, in their schooling and playing junior sport up here. And my wife, she's got a nice job in Launceston. So, and I'm really happy, to be honest, is probably the easiest answer. So, I'm only in my early 30s, and I've definitely got, you know, aspirations to progress my coaching at some point. But I've really enjoyed, to be honest, bedding down in a club that's, I mean, we're the oldest club in Tasmania, and you know, I've got a lot of really close relationships with players like Blackberry and Harper and Riley and Music and guys like that I've coached at multiple clubs. So it's just an enjoyable place at the moment. And but yeah, I've certainly got an eye on the future and where that might lead.
Mitch Thorpe is our guest on the Water Boys this morning. Of course, he coaches the Launceston Footy Club in the Tasmanian State League. Before we let you go, Thorpey, obviously the TSL has been a hot topic in recent times and its future, etc., but there's no bigger advocate of the competition than yourself. How does it sit with an AFL team if that's what happens later this year?
Oh, I think, firstly, we need an AFL team. That's just my two cents worth. I think that's really important, and I think underpinning that, there needs to be a level of footy that you know, our aspirational talent can still cut their teeth, and I've got no doubt we'll work through that in due course. But I've only seen in recent weeks, you know, some young guys playing AFL footy that have played state league footy. You know, Isaac Chugg from our club is a good example of a kid that played six six games in the Development League, and then found his way onto Collingwood's list. So from an aspirational perspective, I think it's really important to have that level that some of our local guys can play, and then sit underneath the AFL team. So, every competition around Australia has got some challenges with teams being strong and not so strong. If you look through all the leagues around Australia, that's fairly common. And even in the AFL at the moment, North Melbourne have got their struggles. So I think one thing that I've watched over the last 4 years is how united the stakeholders are within the football clubs, particularly the older football clubs within the state. So I think we're in a reasonable position moving forward.
Mitch Thorpe, great to have you on the show this morning. Again, thanks for giving up your time for us on game day, and we can't wait to watch the top of the table clash between yourselves and the Tigers this afternoon. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
There he goes, Mitch Thorpe, the coach of the Launceston Footy Club, a very impressive operator, and we do appreciate his time here on the Water Boys this morning. We've still got plenty more to come. We're going to have a look at the Tour de France, a bit of under-16 footy, NBL1, and announce the next winner of our Good Sport Award. That's all coming up next here on the Water Boys, right across Tassie, thanks to Maccas.
This is the Water Boys.
Welcome back to the Water Boys. Thanks to McDonald's, introducing the Australiano made with the best ever McCafe coffee blend with chai and native wattle seed, available at participating restaurants. Time for this now.
The McDonald's.
The Waterboys Good Sport Award.
Who's been doing the hard yards this week?
This is where we get to look after someone doing a wonderful job in the local sporting community with $100 to spend at Intersport. Brownie, there can only be one winner. Who is it this week?
It's Justin Bryan Brent for his tireless work as a hard-working volunteer with Tasmanian Basketball, in particular the Hobart Chargers, who have nominated Justin Bryan, our Good Sport Award winner this week. Congratulations, Justin.
Well-deserving winner. He does a great job through all sorts of basketball connections here in Tasmania. So a very well-deserved winner of our Good Sport Award for this week. And if you'd like to nominate someone for the Good Sport Award, head to the website of the station you're listening to right now. Could be a player, coach, volunteer, anyone doing a wonderful job in the local sporting community. Brownie, Tour de France, I like the tour, but I've struggled to invest myself like I have in the past few years without Richie Porte there this year. But today, Pogacar got the job done again overnight in the latest stage 7, and he holds general classification by 35 seconds right now. So he looks like the man to beat, the defending champion.
How many has he won, Brent? Just the one?
I think so, off the top of my head. Yeah, so he's a star, though. Absolute star. Obviously, rides Team Emirates.
I know you do. You do love it in all seriousness. And obviously, when you've got Richie Porte and these sorts of people, Cadel Evans going back a few years now, it really fuels the interest when we've got Australians competing.
Yep.
But has it been got a little bit lost for you then with everything going on in the world of
sport? I've still had an eye on it, but I was fully invested when Richie was riding around, obviously, especially from a work perspective. So, it'd be great to see another Tasmanian there someday. I'm not sure who the next in line would be, but we can keep our fingers crossed. Now, Brownie, under-16 footy, where's that at, please, from a Tasmanian perspective?
Under-16, Tassie boys play a game tomorrow. I think it's against Sydney Swans, if I'm right in thinking, Brent, down at the Twin Oval. So really exciting. And they've done really well. They've won their first two matches as well. So let's see how they go. Get along and support them. It's fantastic they get an opportunity to play in front of a home crowd too. Good luck to Max Mapley too, the tall ruckman there running around for Tassie tomorrow.
Well, have you signalled him out, please,
Brent? I know. It's a mate of my son.
Right.
So
you disclose that, please, next time.
Disclosing that.
Thank
too.
You. Thank you.
A couple of sons of guns running around from ex-Clarence players too.
Okay.
David Giles's boys, Gavin Cooney's running around, Danny Ling's grandsons are playing. So there's heaps more that I haven't mentioned. So that's really exciting when you've got those family connections, Brent. Allies are playing too.
Yes. Yeah. Good luck
to
all those involved with the
Western Australia.
Absolutely. Hey, good luck to our NBL1 teams this weekend too. They're all on the road over to Victoria. We've got the Hobart Chargers in action, who of course are in second place, the men's team at the moment. They're going beautifully with an unbelievable squad they've put together. They've got Nana Wadding tonight, who are in 14th at the moment. Frankston's the hard one tomorrow. They're in fourth place at the moment. The Blues, and then the women's team went under the Hobart Chargers. Women's team have got their first win last weekend. They've got fourth place, Nunawading tonight, and Frankston, who are 15th tomorrow afternoon. So maybe a sneaky chance tomorrow afternoon for a win for the Hobart Chargers women's team. The Launceston Tornadoes, they're off to Eltham and Ringwood this weekend. They've got Eltham tonight. They should win that one. And Ringwood tomorrow, which will be a little bit tougher. The Launceston Tornadoes, they're having a great season. The Torns, they're fifth on the ladder at the moment. They've got Eltham tonight. They should take care of them. And tomorrow, they've got Ringwood, who are in third spot. So that'll be an absolute cracker tomorrow afternoon. The Torns and Ringwood going head-to-head early tomorrow. Arvo. All right, that's the big water, boys. Done and dusted. Anything from you before we go? Brownie, what's your weekend look like?
No, not too much. Brent, I might watch a little bit of footy on the TV. Take it pretty easy.
Very good.
What about okay. you?
A bit wet outside. Calling the footy this afternoon. I'm going down to North Hobart to call the D's and the Bombers. It should
D's do all right. Yeah. Two against the Bombers traditionally.
Should be a good game. Should be a good game.
They and pushed them up there a couple of early on in the season, didn't they?
They did. They did.
On the road.
All right. That is it for us this week. We'll catch you next Saturday morning for more Water Boys. Have a great weekend.